Next case is 07960, Ohioans for Concealed Carry, Inc. et al. Versus the City of Clyde et al. Mr. McDonald. Mr. McDonald. You may begin.
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, opposing counsel, may it please the court, I'm John McDonald. I'm here on behalf of the City of Clyde. Appearing with me are my colleagues, Mr. Steve Smith and Mr. Matthew Green, both of whom are on brief. With the court's permission, I would like to reserve approximately 3 to 4 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Watch your time there in the clock.
Despite the voluminous briefing which you've received in this case and the equally extensive attention paid to this matter by the press, let me submit that this case is not about the wisdom of Ohio's concealed carry law. This case is not about what the legislature intended when it adopted Revised Code Section 2923.126 or subsequently Revised Code Section 9.68. This is not a case about the Second Amendment, nor an individual's right to keep and bear arms. Nor is it about the rule of the Emperor Caligula, Armageddon, or the end of the world. Quite simply, this is a case about municipal home rule guaranteed for nearly 100 years by Article 18, Section 3 of the Ohio Constitution. It's a case about whether a simple ordinance adopted by the City of Clyde banning possession of deadly weapons in the city parks is enforceable. And you can come to that conclusion for either of two constitutional reasons. First, because that ordinance is an exercise of local self-government, or secondly, because that ordinance does not conflict with a concealed carry law that qualifies as a general law of the state, because that concealed carry law does not apply to all parts of the state alike, nor does it operate uniformly throughout the state. Let me talk first about the latter issue and give you a few examples. Under Revised Code Section 2923.126 on South Bass Island up in northern Ohio, you and I are forbidden to carry firearms on the parkland surrounding Perry's Monument. Yet 300 yards south of that park, we are permitted to carry concealed weapons in De Rivera Park in the city of Put-in Bay. Closer to home, we're forbidden to carry firearms in the Schiller Park Recreation Center here in German Village, but we're permitted to carry them on the basketball court or on the children's play areas immediately adjacent to that rec center. We're forbidden to carry firearms around the softball diamonds in Berliner Park, where there are high school teams playing, but we're permitted to carry firearms on the adjacent diamonds in which lawyers' leagues or church leagues are engaged in play. We've got three different rules under the concealed carry legislation for municipal golf courses, university-owned golf courses, or private golf courses.
But counsel, aren't those rules, those exclusions, those exceptions universally applied across the state, not by community, that if this community has, because all communities have these sites that are incorporated into the statute as areas of exclusion. So to narrow it and say, down the road, you know, Schiller Park has this restriction, and right next to it, you've got, you know, the ability to carry. It would be no different than if that was a situation in Youngstown or Cleveland or any place else in the state that had like facilities.
That is true, Your Honor, and that's what brings us to the other exception in the concealed carry law that renders it non-uniform, the so-called owner's choice provision, in which thousands of privately owned properties in Ohio, from north to south, from Ada to Zanesville and back, are off limits to concealed carry, while the remainder of the properties, private properties, are not.
Counsel,
and those boundaries, I submit, are subject to change literally on a daily basis.
Is there a provision in the statute for how a private property owner establishes, do they have to have certain signage or?
There is with one exception, and it's again another exception that renders this non-uniform. If you look at the concealed carry law, there's a provision that says you can't have a concealed carry weapon in a church, synagogue, mosque, or other place of worship.
Period.
Unless the church, synagogue, or other place of worship permits. And there's no requirement for signage. I think we're all familiar with the signage that we see in most of our city parks. No dogs allowed off leash, no alcohol, no this, no that, no the other. And I think it would certainly be prudent for any municipality adopting such an ordinance to make such a post. But the point is that the exception contained in this law for owner's choice is exactly the same thing that we had in the Canton case.
Counsel, some time back, some of my colleagues were convinced that we could straighten out the sort of the patchwork of this court on the subject of what this particular provision in the Constitution permits locals to do and what it doesn't. There's some thought that over time this court's been somewhat inconsistent going back over a long period of time. I think I concluded that if you looked at the cases going back that we don't know much about, except they're there in the books, that the pattern might really be, even though there are these rules, where the equities are. It's never stated that way, but if you tried to make some sense out of what occurred. And my question about that in this case is, has there been any indication, I'm unaware of it, but I don't follow this all the time, any indication that handguns, concealed handguns, we've had this law for a couple of years, have caused problems anywhere in the state, that we've got a bunch of little Rambos running around and causing problems. If that's the case, I've missed it. Has that been the experience here?
And that is certainly not a part of the record before this court. There is ample comment, both pro and con, on the issues of right to bear arms and individual right to protection.
Yeah. What I'm interested in is the practical problems. I think there's in the Municipal League's brief this suggestion of, you got all these hot-tempered parents at kids' ball games and those kind of things. So it's dangerous from that standpoint. But are we aware of incidents either here or in other states that have had this for a longer period of time where it's been a particular problem in parks?
I'm sure each member of the court will have in mind specific instances and specific examples, but I would urge the court not to devolve into the policy debate or the merits or lack of merits of either the concealed carry legislation or the ordinance of the City of Clyde. What you have before you is a constitutional question. And the question is whether or not, in this case, we are dealing either with an exercise of local self-government, which I'll come to in a moment, or whether the Clyde ordinance is in conflict with a general law. And I think from the examples that I've given and others that are contained in the brief, it is readily apparent that the concealed carry legislation is not a uniform law which applies to all parts of the state alike and which operates uniformly throughout the state. It's the very exception that this court found in the Canton case defeated the stated intent of the law. And the stated intent of the law here is to provide uniform authority for persons carrying concealed weapons.
Counsel, in looking at the ordinance, I believe it prohibits firearms, dangerous ordnance,
deadly weapons
in the parks, period.
Yes.
As this case has developed, is there any dispute that Clyde can put up signs, and prohibit deadly weapons in the park, with the exception of concealed carried pursuant to a permit.
Well, that depends on how far the court wants to go into some of the amicus briefs that have been filed in this case. I would submit that there is no such argument, but the case
before— In other words, Clyde can prohibit everything except people with a concealed carry permit.
Unless the court is tempted by the arguments of the NRA and others that there are overriding issues in that respect. But I think this court's jurisprudence with respect to the right to keep and bear arms is fairly clear. If you look at your decisions in Arnold and in Klein versus Lice, we acknowledge the fact that the right to keep and bear arms is not an absolute right. It is subject to certain limitations. And as a veteran of the General Assembly, like some of you, I could recognize only too well that there's a frequent gap between legislative intent on the one hand and legislative enactment on the other. The legislature says this is what we intend to do, but the compromise attendant on that legislative process invariably, and in this case, in fact, did result in a compromise which resulted in legislation that does not apply to all parts of the state alike and does not operate uniformly throughout the state.
Mr. McDonald, let me interrupt you again. I want to make sure you do get to your argument, local self-government, so I'll take you there. Would we need to expand any of our existing case law if we were to adopt your argument with respect to local self-government? By that I mean that, as you know, there's the argument that local self-government authority of local governments is very restricted to matters that concern them uniquely, that is the local government, city council meetings and so forth, and that a park is a bit removed from perhaps from our case law. Can you, what's your response to that? Do we have to change any law to get where you want us to
be? I think not. The court does not have to go to the issue of whether or not the concealed carry law is a law of general application. If the court concludes, as I think you should, that this is merely an exercise of local self-government, that would end the matter. And as this court found in State X. Rel. Leach 50 years ago, the right to convey and control municipal property is a power of local self-government. And as the 10th District here in Columbus found in the McDonald versus Columbus case some 40 years ago, the providing for parks, playgrounds, and recreation centers is a power of local self-government. Even if this court should conclude that the ordinance in question is merely an exercise of local self-government rather than an exercise of the police power, which does not conflict with a general state law, in either event, as a consequence, I would submit this court should find that Clyde Ordinance 2004-41 is a valid and legitimate exercise of the city's constitutional rights guaranteed by Article 18, Section 3 of the Constitution, and that the decision of the Court of Appeals should be reversed. I'd like to reserve my remaining time.
I have a question first. You,
yes, Your Honor.
You are mainly asserting a home rule right, not a police power right.
That is correct, and I will confess that is not what the ordinance says on its face. The ordinance says it's an exercise of police power.
So we have that conflict.
Ultimately, that is an issue to be determined by this court. I think that's a constitutional question.
Second question is it your position that under the home rule, Clyde has the right to prohibit carry concealed anywhere it owns property in the entire city?
We're not making that assertion, Your Honor. We're saying that
in
the parks.
Asking you, do you have that right under your position?
I think if the court were to make a finding based on the lack of uniformity of the concealed carry legislation, one of two things would happen. Either you would be confronted in the future with other legislation dealing with other facts, or the General Assembly would have to go back and clean up its mistakes.
You have not answered my question. Does Clyde assert that it has the right to have carry concealed weapons prohibited anywhere in the city? No,
Clyde is not making that assertion at this time. It has not, and to my knowledge, has no intent to do so.
But that is consistent with your theory.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. Mr. Carney.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the court. I'm going to try to stop at 8 minutes and leave 7 minutes for Mr. Ellis. Three points are key to understanding this case about Ohio's uniform statewide system for allowing law-abiding citizens to carry concealed weapons. First, the state law is uniform because it does treat all cities alike, and that's what matters for uniformity in the home rule context.
Well, Council, it doesn't treat all property owners alike. The city is a property owner just as any other citizen, and it gives every other property owner the right to a yes or no on their property. But with respect to cities who have also a special constitutional provision for home rule, it says you can't control your property. So isn't that the difference?
That's not a problem for several reasons. First, this court in Garcia and Lindale and Canton has only struck down things for non-uniformity in the home rule context where it treats cities differently from one another, not some type of land in the city versus another type of land. Second, even if you look to the different kind of properties, what he doesn't talk about is what's the alternative? If we have a category here of you shall not carry in schools and daycare, and you shall carry in open fields and down the street, in the middle, owner's choice lets everyone decide for themselves in the private property context, and I'll get back to private versus public in a second. But as far as one private shoe store goes one way, one private shoe store goes another way. If you eliminate...
Let me take you back there, because you talk fast, and my mind just can't move as fast as you do, Mr. Carney. Canton, the Canton case. This court said Canton can control what goes on in his property. I dissented in that, but that's what this court said.
But the reason was the court didn't say it was that public and private was different and that was the end of it. The court said because public was treated differently from private and because private homeowner associations were the dominant pattern in suburbs, whereas traditional zoning was the dominant protection in our older cities, the result was that some municipalities were treated differently from others. And notably, the court said it was going beyond facial uniformity. And that shows that the uniformity clause tests, which initially got cross-cited with home rule in some of this court's earlier cases, have now separated, and that makes sense, that in the uniformity clause context, you only look facially. It's broad but relatively shallow.
Okay. Let me slow you down again here. Let me jump you ahead to my question about what they can prohibit in the park. The ordinance says no dangerous ordnance or weapons or whatever, and they put up a sign that says none of this. You're not arguing that they can't prohibit someone from strapping a 45 on and or carrying a shotgun or whatever else they do, openly carrying, because you can do that anywhere in this state, but I don't see any argument that they can't do that.
Well, first, as far as the ordinance referring to deadly weapons, for any knives, non-gun things, not addressed anywhere in these statutes, I think that's certainly not at issue. Whether open carry is at issue is, I think, a little unclear, because if you look at the court's opinion, the original briefing and the opening brief talk about concealed carry. I don't know if that's a preserved issue.
They have this ordinance. They put up a sign, no weapons. And they enforce it. They tell the policeman, enforce it against anybody who openly carries, but don't enforce it against anybody who concealed carries.
I think what's directly before the court is the concealed carry clash, and the open carry issue was either left behind in the lower court or is affirmed, and they need to rewrite the ordinance to divvy those two out, and I don't think it's clear. I don't think the court needs to go into that because it wasn't briefed originally. If you look at the opening brief, there's no phrase open carry, and it talks about municipal regulation of concealed carry in a way that I think it's unclear whether open carry is before the court, so the more prudential thing may be to leave it behind.
Could I ask you to address the argument made by Mr. McDonald? He told us about Schiller Park. He talked about the Perry's Monument as exceptions where there is no application. And while your argument says we treat all cities alike, he's looking at parks that are not all treated alike.
Right. To the extent that private parks...
address that specifically.
Certainly. To the extent that private parks are treated differently. As I said, first, That kind of treatment can be brought in a regular uniformity challenge and isn't part of home rule as long as cities are treated alike, because the court's never gone there in a home rule case. They've always found that cities are treated disparately before striking something down. But second, if you do look at property types, consider the alternative to owner's choice. If we didn't have this middle category, what we'd have to do to force everything into the can carry or can't carry category is we'd have to have a book-long rule that says banks and jewelry stores, maybe not. Maybe not toy stores, shoe stores, sure. What about offices? What about manufacturing plants?
But in marriage, as you know, in marriage, where the General Assembly adopted legislation affecting all roads, including these little township roads.
Right. And it allowed diversity.
General Assembly gave the local authorities a permit authority. What's wrong with doing that here? To make it truly a statute that applies under the Constitution?
I think merit shows there the legislature did make a choice to let each city go its own way. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But the fact that this court said in marriage that different cities might choose different paths doesn't take away uniformity supports us, because the fact that different bowling alleys or different shoe stores or baseball fields that are private might go different ways doesn't take away uniformity. And if you're talking not about private choice, but private versus public, keep in mind public land is held as a public trust. Unlike private property, where the roots run very deep, even for a 5-foot strip of land, there people can keep out trespassers for all sorts of reasons. Public property, you cannot keep out free speech the way a private property owner can't. You cannot regulate people's constitutional rights in the same way in public property, because the city council is just a steward, not a true owner, as all citizens are the owners of that property.
Let me ask you I'd like to hear your strongest argument as to why the city's exercise of authority over a municipal park is not local self-government.
Because this court has only ever found local self-government when it's internal management things. What shows that this is police power is, first, as counsel acknowledged, the ordinance itself invokes the police power. Second, it doesn't declare a regulation among internal...
But we're certainly not bound by what members of council think they did, are we?
But second, what they did was that they said it's a misdemeanor. If there's anything that's classic police power, it's saying we're going to put you in jail. We're calling the police.
But we have to write law here that is going to give direction to the state, the General Assembly, and to municipalities and everyone else as to what their authority is. And so I think we have to get off the, I don't think you're going to help yourself by urging us to say, well, the council thought it was police power, because that's not what we look at, is
I'll
it?
I'll withdraw that, but the fact that it's a misdemeanor, I think, does make a police power. When you are telling citizens, do this or you go to jail, that's police power all the time. This court has never found something that regulates some citizens in the name of protecting the health, safety, and morals of other citizens to be merely a matter of self-government.
So you think we would be inconsistent with...
Correct. You'd
with
be making new law.
Let me ask the question, then you can answer.
Sorry.
You think we would be inconsistent if we were to hold that a municipality's establishment and control of a municipal park conflicts with, it doesn't expressly conflict with any, we don't have a case on that, certainly, that I know of, do we? There would be no express conflict in our holding that in this case, would there?
There would be. I think the way this court and AFSA and other cases have explained self-government to be matters where it's so purely local, there's no statewide concern at all. You've never found no statewide concern at all in licensing, mm-hmm. where there's an affirmative license, you got to take a test. You've never said that in a licensing case. I think you'd be overruling McElroy. I think you'd be overruling AFSA.
Well, we've never held that the city's ownership of a park is not local self-government, have we? I don't think so.
Correct, but you have held.
You're extrapolating, which you should, from other cases, and you're arguing that as you did in the briefs, that the city's control of a city park has implications beyond the interests of the city. That someone visiting the park from outside, they have to know where they're allowed to carry a gun and so forth, but.
Well, if you look at it first, if you went with the uniformity, it would strike down, and the state law would lose out to all sorts of city ordinances. I want to leave time for Mr. Ellis, but I do want to note that under statewide concern, if you hold property ownership, think about not just real estate, but when they put up a building for City Hall, they have to meet state building standards. Mm-hmm. Their public records are their property, but they still have to follow public records law. The only things the court has ever found are self-government, are internal managerial things, like whether to have a mayor or a city manager. manager, police power, if putting you in jail and having the police come out isn't police power, I don't know what is. And for all these reasons, we ask you to affirm and uphold the state law against their attempt to eat away at the state's right to give citizens concealed carry. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carney. Mr. Ellis.
Chief Justice, members of the court. The General Assembly enacted comprehensive statewide firearm regulation enabling law-abiding citizens to carry arms for their personal defense and defense of their family. The revised code sections 2923 and 9.68 outline the requirements a law-abiding citizen has to meet in order to obtain a concealed license and IDs the places in which firearms can be carried concealed and where they cannot be carried concealed, and places limitations on the local self-government to the extent that state and federal law limits the operation of concealed carry. The General Assembly determined that properly licensed individuals are authorized to carry firearms anywhere in the state except certain designated areas. This case represents the court for the first time a statute that enables, by affirmative grant, carrying of concealed firearms on citizens generally, and limiting that conduct in certain places by precluding it through the exceptions.
Mr. Ellis, the idea that this is a general law, uniformity, tell me why the distinction between private owners and public owners is a rational distinction, because Canton talks about the classifications in light of whether this would be considered a uniform law, of uniform application. It seems to me that the concern here, as was pointed out earlier, between the private park or the private situation at Perry's Monument and then the public park very close to it, suggests that this is not uniform in operation.
Well, there's distinctions made in the statute upon uniformity based on ownership, which is private versus public. Public property has all of the limitations placed on it by the 14th Amendment, like equal protection, supremacy clause, and the other 14th Amendment protections. And so public property is very different. You cannot exclude individuals from public property because the whole definition of public property is for the use of the public. And what private property owners have is they can exclude people on property for any reason or no reason.
No, they can't.
Well, if I say... You
tried excluding people based on race and see where you end up.
You don't think I could exclude people in my home based on race, Your Honor? I think I can, and that's private property. I think individuals can make determinations like private property over their...
Try renting your rental house to exclude people based on race and see where you end up.
Yeah, but see, then it moves into a business.
That's still private property.
It's still private property, but then it becomes quasi-commercial, and the 14th Amendment has other limitations it placed on it. In the context of this statute, though, Your Honor, And I think what I'd like to do is, there are legitimate distinctions all over the place in private property versus public, but I'd like to address the local argument, I think that Chief Justice Moyer made. You know, any time you impact a constitutional right, you are exercising the right of a police power. This court said that in Arnold. Any time you're prescribing criminal conduct of an individual, you're exercising a police power. And what I would suggest to the court that you can adopt in this case a very simple, bright line rule for the management of whether something is local or whether something is local matter only by stating any enactment calling for criminal penalties to control the conduct of its citizen is by a matter of law an exercise of police power. And that's exactly what Clyde has done here.
Counsel, maybe I'm the only one that is interested in the practical applications of this, but I do think if you go back through all of our cases on testing the power of localities, you can find a common thread of they were sort of balancing interests and not saying that. What's the need to be packing in a park? What's the compelling need? And let me wrap into that. I assume Clyde's Park is like most of the usage takes place in the summertime, so it's going to take great effort to conceal carry in the summertime in the park. So what's the need, and practically, is anybody even going to want to do this?
Your Honor,
yeah.
I think I can answer that both as it relates to open carry and concealed carry, because you also answered that question.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think Clyde can ban open carry too, because under 9.68, there's a specific limitation and an affirmative grant saying it applies to both open and concealed carry under the definitional section. The need is really.
So your view is that somebody can strap a 357 on their jogging shorts and go into the park, and Clyde can't do anything about it?
Well, I think that in this particular case, the state has enacted a general law saying you can carry a firearm everywhere, openly or concealed. And these places you can't. If the general law is you can carry anywhere, the answer to that question is yes, you can do that, Your Honor.
Okay.
Okay. Now, as it relates to the right to bear firearms for your personal protection, it's an affirmative, the legislature has affirmatively granted that and recognized it. And there is no proscription, say, with like the hours of the operation of the park, or you can't drink in the park. There is no affirmative grant in by the legislature that you can drink anywhere in the state of Ohio. There is no affirmative grant. You know, if you say the hours of operation is totally local, I think I would say that. There's also not a fundamental right involved to the context that, you know, if I am going to have the means to protect myself, I certainly happen to have the ability to bear the arm. And consequently, if I think that...
But you need to do that in the park, and you don't. But it's okay that you can't do it if you go into the city sewer department. Or the water treatment plant, you can't carry there, and that's
or a park that's leased by the city to a private entity.
Right, I mean, you can't carry concealed in those answers.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's clear whether you can carry openly in those situations. For example, if you're on the municipal highway traveling down the road and you're precluded from carrying concealed into a building, and so if you pull off to one of the rest stops and you can't carry concealed, what is the manner in which to use the building? I think the answer is you make it openly carry or you leave it in the car.
Leave it in the car, sure, it's a simple answer.
It's either that. Well, some places in some parks or some places you won't be able to leave it in the car because you won't be anywhere near it. What are your options? I mean, if you want the practical application of
a lot of people that use rest stops that don't have firearms, they seem to get by all right.
Well, I don't think it's a question of whether or not you have firearms. I think it's whether or not if you're going to exercise that right.
But we're talking about classifications, I guess, is where the General Assembly has made these classifications that don't seem to make a lot of sense, frankly. And that's our challenge here: is how much leeway do we give the General Assembly to create these classifications without some stricture on them?
Well, Your Honor, I think that if you apply the you can carry anywhere in the state, and then you can't carry in these places, okay? They have balanced the rights and given deference to the particular, like private property owners. They can either ban it or not. That's no different than the Bennett construction case in which the assembly gave the right to the local municipalities to enact legislation consistent with the truck weights and limitations. I mean, what you really need to ask yourself is, could the city of Clyde enact a law that says all people 18 years of age or under can drink in our park? I mean, it's a similar analysis. It is that can they conflict so much with the law in order that they create the impractical or non-uniformity? And in this case, Your Honor, you know, firearm owners have to be able to transverse the state, go around, without getting trapped in every little municipality that decides their view of what is the necessary
They follow speed limits, don't they, in every little municipality? I mean, that argument, to me, frankly, is that...
Well, you know, you don't have a constitutional right to speed,
Your Honor.
One could
say it's just too bad that they have to know where they can carry their gun. I mean, if they carry the gun, fine. But if a municipality wants to put some restriction because they think it's not safe for people in their parks, they have people in their parks with concealed carry, with concealed guns, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it with the municipality, under the Constitution now? What's wrong with the municipality being able to say, we think we don't want people in our parks carrying guns because of all sorts of things that can happen to innocent people in the park?
I guess I would answer that two ways, Your Honor. First, do you think a non-law-abiding person with intent to criminally conduct unlawful action in a park really is concerned about a misdemeanor violation that Clyde puts in it? The only people that will abide by that are law-abiding citizens in which the state has affirmatively granted the right to carry in that park. And then, secondly...
Well, Counsel, are you suggesting that people are... I didn't think we had a problem with criminals carrying guns into parks and causing... We have problems with pedophiles in parks because there are small children there. And it seems to me if someone wants to protect their family, a bullwhip is a better choice of weapon than a firearm on something like that. Pedophiles aren't packing generally, and they don't use firearms.
Well, I would suggest to the court that they're in the parks of the state of Ohio, there's all kinds of criminal conduct, including drugs, gang, pedophiles. Yeah. I mean, what you got, I think the court needs to focus upon that, these are law-abiding people. Have we forgotten that law-abiding people are in a partnership with the state and with police to stop crime? If I'm in the park and I see a pedophile doing that, if I'm armed, I can stop him, hold him for the police, and wait. Have we forgotten that the fundamental right to protect ourselves is just as important as the state's right to prevent crime? I mean,
Mr. Ellis, isn't this a home rule matter, and we're trying to determine if the state has created a general law so that Canton's ordinance must be looked at. If we see it being a police power, Canton's ordinance then must not conflict with a state law of general application. And my concern, again, is whether this is truly a general law because it's riddled with these exceptions. You want us to take a very broad view of what a general law is.
Well, what I would suggest to the court, if you truly are concerned about the exceptions in there, is to strike them, to sever them. That the least intrusive manner in which to handle this particular thing is to sever the private property right exclusion. Then, if you look at the basis to do that.
Counsel, what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that you have a general law to carry concealed. I think we all agree with that. The exception says you can't carry here. If that creates non-uniformity, I think the proper resolution is to sever that, which Section 10 of the statute permits you to do.
So you would, by severing it, you would have us declare that portion that permits property owners to exclude weapons or prohibit them, so the stores in town can't put up a sign, no firearms.
Right.
We should say that part's unconstitutional?
Yeah, and sever it. Because what that does is it enables the rest of the statute to apply.
Counsel, you're not suggesting that we do that. You're not recommending it. You're saying if we as a court find in the review of what a general law is that the multitude of exceptions is troubling, we would strike the exceptions that we find troubling in number and application, not wisdom.
Well, right. I may have misspoke. Because it still enables the right to carry anywhere in Ohio, which is the fundamental right being affirmatively granted here.
Or more simply, Mr. Ellis, we could reverse and find that this law, that the Clyde Ordinance is not in conflict with a general law, which would be even a more simple solution.
I think if you do that, Your Honor, you significantly expand the areas in which municipalities under their police power can regulate.
But that's the Constitution. I mean, the Constitution reserves this right to the municipalities. We're not talking about a statute here. We're saying home rule allows for the cities to enact ordinance, police power ordinances even, as long as they don't conflict with general laws.
Well, the general law is you can carry anywhere. It does conflict. If you look at for a moment that you have a broad grant and then limitations, this really is the first time this court has looked at both sides of the coin, and you need to ask yourself, has the General Assembly enacted to such a point, to such a significance, that any action by a local municipality under their home rule provision would be in conflict? And I think the answer to that is yes, because the affirmative grant is to carry anywhere.
But except that I had the same question that Justice Lanzinger has, except that the General Assembly has carved out all these exceptions. And when you look at the exceptions that the General Assembly has made, schools and places where you don't want people to carry concealed weapons, why isn't a city park, consistent with that? If you look at not at the right of the person to carry the concealed weapon, you're right, they have the general right to do that, but the General Assembly has said, no, you don't, in many, many instances. And so why is it inconsistent for a city to say, we're concerned about, I don't know if this is in the legislation, but certainly it makes some sense, it's intuitive, the city decides we don't want guns in the parks because of what can happen with guns. Why is that not consistent with no guns in hospitals, no guns in schools, because of the kind of danger that they are in a bar, even where people get intoxicated or whatever, and they pull out a gun and start shooting people? Why is the Clyde ordinance inconsistent with that principle of all these exceptions that people have been able to get the General Assembly to make for them?
Because it conflicts with the general law, Your Honor.
Pardon?
It conflicts with the general law. Quite simply, the legislature made a determination and evaluated whether you should preclude carry in a park. And made a public policy decision that carrying in a public park enhances public safety. And so what you're really asking is, who gets to decide, as a hierarchical sense, what public safety is more important, the local government or the state? Since this is a statewide concern, I think due deference should be placed upon the General Assembly in the determinations that they've made that carrying it in a park is permissible. I mean, the enabling the local municipalities
They didn't say that expressly. If they said it expressly, then we'd have a problem with this line of questioning, certainly.
They did consider, though, and denied an amendment to add parks.
Well, but
I mean, the point is that
we have a statute before us, which is silent on parks.
Right.
And so why is it inconsistent with if the statute didn't include all these exceptions? Again, we wouldn't have this line of question, but the General Assembly has carved out all these exceptions because people, we know how it works, people come to them and said, no, we don't want guns in these places, and the city has said, we don't want gun in this place. And General Assembly, you haven't said we can't do that. You're silent on that. So we think it's not inconsistent for us to decide that a park, in terms of the protection, not of the person carrying the gun, but because that's not the concern in the school, certainly, I wouldn't think, or in the nursing home or wherever. It's the concern of the people who may be innocent victims. Why is it inconsistent for a city council to decide that same principle applies to a city park? I guess that's my question.
You know, Your Honor, I think it again goes back to, you have a general law that affirmatively grants the right to carry anywhere.
Okay.
And then you can't carry here. Now, you presume the legislature has examined, balanced, and made a determination of the permissible places to carry, so not to limit them, because they've already affirmatively granted the ability to carry everywhere. It's inconsistent because the state legislature has made a decision, stated they needed uniformity throughout the state, and if one municipality decides to limit it in their parks and the other doesn't, you undermine the uniformity.
There's a Latin term that applies to that, I think.
Pardon me?
There's a Latin term that I think applies to that. They said, here are the exceptions, and there aren't any others.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's what they did here. And so, and effectively, anything that the municipality attempts to enact would be inherently in conflict with it and void. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Mr. McDonald, you saved a minute, but we gave Napolis almost 15 minutes over, so take start and I'll tell
you when to stop. I'll not indulge the full extent of that, but I do appreciate a chance to bring this matter back to what I consider to be the central issue before this court. And it's the same one that the Sixth District Court of Appeals had before it in Toledo versus Beatty when they decided in September of 2006 in a very similar case, that delegating authority to private property owners to allow or prohibit concealed handguns in this way creates arbitrary and disparate rules and regulations regarding where a properly licensed person can lawfully carry a concealed handgun within the state. And for that reason, the Sixth District concluded at that time that this was not a general law.
If we find that this is an exercise of police power because it assesses a criminal penalty, does that change your argument?
I think not, Your Honor. I think that this court, when it came to consider the jurisdictional appeal in Beatty in June of 2007, declined to accept jurisdiction because the Sixth Circuit was right. 2 months later, the legislature adopted Revised Code Section 9.68 as part of House Bill 247. And they included in it, as the legislature is often wont to do, a fair amount of very lofty rhetoric about the right to conceal and or to keep and bear arms and the need to provide uniform laws throughout the state regulating the possession of firearms. But despite that proclamation, the legislature did nothing to eliminate the major exception in the revised the concealed carry legislation, which effectively frustrates its purpose of providing uniformity throughout the state. When I was a member of the General Assembly, Speaker Kerfoots had a word for it. He said, we can put lipstick on a pig and call it the homecoming queen, but when people take a look at it, they'll know it's not the homecoming queen. I think when you take a look at this legislation, you will realize that it is not a general law. And I think you will recognize, if you do not believe that the city of Clyde has the inherent authority as an exercise of local self-government to adopt legislation of the sort that is before you, you must conclude that the legislation, the ordinance adopted, is not in conflict with a general state law and leave it to the General Assembly to deal with whatever remaining problems may occur. Thank you very much.
Mr. McDonald, the general law portion of it, if there was no dichotomy between public and private ownership, would that solve the problem?
I'm not sure it would entirely solve the problem because there are also dichotomies between public property owners and public property owners. The cities can't decide, for example, like private property owners, that it's okay to bring a gun into this courtroom. So we've got a number of prohibitions where there's no owner's choice for municipalities, and there's no owner's choice for municipalities when it comes to whether or not to ban guns in a city park. Same thing on the other side with private property owners. Council talks about, well, we are treating all private property owners alike. We're not. We're saying to private property owners who choose to run a daycare center, no, can't have concealed carry.
So are you saying that it would never be possible for the General Assembly to enact a statewide or a general law governing concealed carry?
I served in the General Assembly for 6 years, and I'm not sure I fully understood what we could or could not do at that time, and I'd hate to guess what they can or can't do at this point in time. I think that the General Assembly certainly can read the pronouncements of this court. Sometimes they see fit to heed them, sometimes they do not. But I don't think it is incumbent upon either me or this court necessarily to determine that. All you need to determine is whether or not Clyde Ordinance 2004-41 is a valid and constitutional exercise of municipal home rule. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. We'll take a brief recess.